This is Fresh Air. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead has a review of a new Woody Herman reissue. Herman died last October at the age of 75. Up until his final illness, Herman was on the road playing the clarinet, the alto saxophone, and leading his band. The new reissue features the first post-war bands that Herman led.
Woody Herman's last years, he'd become more famous for his tax troubles than for his music. While World War II was on, Herman had hawked war bonds and he'd cut V-discs for GIs. But when the IRS later discovered a crooked manager had been cooking his books, the feds showed the band leader no mercy. It was an important story and it made great copy, but it's not what Woody Herman should be remembered for. In a sense, he'd been rewarded for his wartime good works almost immediately. His first two post-war bands, the First and Second Herds, were his most exciting and distinctive. A sampling of their stuff is on a Columbia reissue, The Thundering Herds, 1945 to 1947. Though the big bands were then on the wane, Herman was ripe for a breakthrough. He'd played the blues for years, had commissioned early bop charts from Dizzy Gillespie, and had been smitten by Duke Ellington's sound. Herman's post-war music was an agreeable hodgepodge of those strains. Here's a taste of John Laporta's Non-Alcoholic. The spark plug that ignited the First Herd was bassist Chubby Jackson. He's sort of a missing link between Basie's hard-swinging bassist Walter Page, who set the style in the 30s, and the early 60s high-note virtuoso Scott LaFaro. Listen to Jackson push tenorist Flip Phillips on Apple Honey. He builds tension just by dropping a few notes from his hyperactive line. Herman valued great soloists, but had a modest opinion of his own talents. In the First Herd, he showcased Phillips and trombonist Bill Harris more than he did himself. Harris, like the boppers to come, was so adept with his slide, some listeners assumed he played the more prim valve trombone. But he combined that precision with a blustery approach. He'd dramatically shape every note like an old tailgate trombonist. One of Harris's features was a rumba by Ralph Burns, Bijou. Was recorded in 1945. 3 years later, J.J. Johnson's bop trombone was the rage, and Harris's rich sound seemed old-fashioned. Tastes and the economy were changing. Woody Herman disbanded the first herd at the end of 1946, but he was back with a second herd the following year. Bill Harris, Chubby Jackson, and Flip Phillips were gone, but the new band's up-and-coming players included Stan Getz and Zoot Sims. The second herd has had more lasting impact, too, thanks to Jimmy Giuffre's chart for harmonized saxes, Four Brothers. It was a fluent and influential marriage of Benny Carter's block voicings with the new language of bop. Herman's first two herds cut dozens of sides between 1945 and 47. The new reissue isn't the ideal selection. The second herd is represented by only two cuts out of 16. There are three Herman vocals where one would be plenty. And a couple of these bands' best love numbers are missing. Presumably, Columbia is saving them for a sequel, if this collection sells as well as it ought to. Woody Herman should be remembered for his best music, and not just for the terrible things that happened to people around April 15th.
Kevin Whitehead is a regular contributor to Downbeat and Cadence. He reviewed a new Woody Herman reissue, The Thundering Herds, 1945 to 1947, on the Columbia label.
A jug of wine, a loaf of bread, and thou, baby, I dreamed we sat beneath the scented bough. Baby, your eyes.
That's Woody Herman, and this is Fresh Air.